Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's go to Moscow, where our Daybreak Africa sportsman Samson Omale is standing by with a package of World Cup football news. Sporty World Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty World Cup greetings to you, Sonny. The quarterfinal matches at the 2018 World Cup will begin on Friday, and for the 8 countries who made it to the finals, some of their presidents are getting involved in galvanizing support for their national teams across the globe. The president of France, Emmanuel Macron, was in Nigeria on Wednesday as part of his latest soft power mission while attempting to reassure African nations that France's interest in the continent is more than just colonialism revisited, but while addressing some basketball players and youth in Lagos, the French president is also using his visits to ask Nigeria to support the Le Bleu, the French national team, ahead of their quarterfinal clash against Uruguay since the Super Eagles are out of the World Cup.
We did what we had to do after the defeat of the Super Eagles. So now, as the Super Eagles are no more in the tournament, please support the French football team. We will win this tournament.
The FIFA Referees Committee has selected 17 referees, 37 assistant referees, and 10 video assistant referees for the final phase of the 2018 World Cup. Given the number of matches left and the teams that have qualified for the next round, the number of referees has since been reduced. CAF will be represented by Didio Malang from Senegal and Sikazwe Gyani from Zambia. Gyani will be the fourth official in the match between Russia and Croatia. Two quarterfinal games have been scheduled to be played on Friday. Uruguay will take on France, while Brazil will square it out with Belgium. Ahead of the quarterfinal matches, let's take a look at some records, facts, and history that will define the 2018 World Cup. Tomorrow, Oscar Tabárez will take charge of his 186th match as Uruguay coach and his 21st at the World Cup. He has become the World Cup's oldest coach to take the helm beyond the group stage, passing the mark previously set by Italy's Cesare Maldini, while he is the second oldest in history. Staying with records, 60 years since Pele became the fourth teenager to score multiple goals in the FIFA World Cup game, Kylian Mbappe became the fifth.
On the turn there was Matuidi, and Mbappe! Oh, yes! Matuidi, good ball, Giroud, helped on here, and Mbappe's got another one! 4-2!
48 years had passed since a team had overturned a two-goal deficit and won a knockout phase match at the World Cup until Belgium rallied to stun Japan 3-2. The last had been West Germany, who came from two goals down to edge England 3-2 at Mexico 1970.
It's the knockout stages as highly fancied Belgium come face to face with the only Asian team left in the competition. It's missed by Vertonghen. It's a great chance for Haraguchi. He scores! The 2018 FIFA World Cup finals continue to surprise. Japan desperate to cover the spaces. They can't do so for the moment. Lukaku, and here's a winner! Oh, can you believe it? Nasser Chadli strokes Belgium into a quarterfinal against Brazil. What a game. Belgium 3, Japan 2.
And let's take a look at the cumulative attendance. 14 million is the cumulative attendance the World Cup reached thanks to the Sweden-Switzerland game. The tournament with a record attendance was USA 1994 with 3.59 million. Followed by Brazil 2014 with 3.43 million in attendance and Germany 2006 with 3.36 million, while 2.58 million spectators and counting have attended Russia 2018 matches. And let's look at goals scored. 31 of the 146 goals scored at Russia 2018 have been scored after the 80th minute. 28 penalties have been awarded at Russia 2018, a record for a World Cup. 21 have been successfully converted. 22 of the 56 matches played have been goalless at halftime. Only one of those, however, has finished 0-0. It took 37 matches for the first goalless draw of the tournament to come through, a World Cup record. 17 matches as captain of the World Cup is what Rafa Márquez made it to break Diego Maradona's record. The Mexican also became the only player to wear the armband at 5 World Cups and just the third to appear in 5 editions, Antonio Carvajal and Lothar Matthäus. We will be looking at more of these records in the days to come. From Moscow here in Russia, I am Samson O'Malley.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Washington Post soccer writer Stephen Goff is in Russia, where he's covering his 7th Men's World Cup for the newspaper. Steve also has covered 4 Women's World Cups. I reached Steve Goff in Moscow and asked him, how does Russia 2018 compare with the previous World Cups you've attended?
If you're talking about the organization of the tournament, this is certainly high on the list. If you're talking about the quality of play, this is very high on the list. This has been a terrific tournament. It's been a good experience. I think people from around the world have learned about Russia. I'm guessing most people have never been here before. I've certainly never been here before. It's been enlightening and educational and very enjoyable.
There were reports before the World Cup, Steve, about fears of hooliganism and racism. Have you seen any of that on display in Russia?
No. I mean, I've mostly been in Moscow and some in St. Petersburg. You know, World Cups in general rarely have problems at the stadiums. I mean, I've witnessed a couple fights, but there's 50 fights in an NFL stadium every weekend. The hooligan issue never really materialized. I think a lot of the most extreme fans in Russia have been carefully watched, so to speak, and aren't anywhere near the stadiums. English fans, you know, I think most people have been pretty well behaved. It's interesting that a large percentage of fans here are from Latin America. They're not necessarily from Europe. Colombia game against England, the crowd breakdown was 5-1 in favor of Colombia. It's interesting that we are here in Europe, but the biggest crowds have been from Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, Peru.
What about the hospitality factor, Steve? Have you found the Russians to be welcoming?
Yeah, I mean, I think their demeanor is a little more stoic than perhaps we're accustomed to in America or in much of Europe. I think they've generally been curious about a lot of visitors. I don't know if many of these cities see large numbers of visitors. Moscow obviously does. St. Petersburg does. Sochi to some degree because they hosted an Olympics. I think it's been good. It's been fun. Obviously, it's not always like that here. This is a world party, and I think they've loosened up some of the rules, guidelines, laws to allow people to have a good time. When the tournament ends, you know, it might be a little bit different again here. I'm not a Russian expert. I don't live here full time, so it's hard for me to say. But during these few weeks of the tournament, it's been a good scene and a good adventure for most people.
Finally, Steve, as we head into the quarterfinals, could you pick out maybe 2 or 3 players on teams that will compete in the quarterfinals who, in your opinion, have really stood out in terms of their performance?
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly take Harry Kane for England with his goal-scoring ability. He's been the best pure striker in this tournament. Luka Modric, the playmaker for Croatia, has been terrific, leading the way for Croatia. He's been fine. We've talked about Mbappe, the French attacker, the 19-year-old, phenomenal talent. Brazil with Neymar, impact player, has scored goals. He draws a lot of attention by opposing defenses. Those are some of the guys who have stood out, but there's a lot of talent still left in this tournament, even though we lost Messi and we lost Ronaldo. The Germans are long gone. Spain is done. So a lot of talent left in the last few days of the tournament.
That's Washington Post soccer writer Stephen Goff. And Steve was talking with me from Moscow, the Russian capital. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Are Kenyans enjoying the World Cup? That's the question reporter Prince Nesta posed when he called Nairobi and reached Kenyan sports journalist Sean Cardavillas.
Oh, it's been absolutely brilliant. World Cup fever is here. This has been one of the best tournaments for a long time. So much drama, and of course, with the big teams going out, and you have to wonder, how much of a part has VAR played in this? Because now with technology in the World Cup, it looks like the big teams can't influence the referees anymore. But yeah, I've got to admit, it's been absolutely brilliant.
Has there been a World Cup that has been better than this, in your opinion?
You'd have to go some way back. I remember France 98 pretty well. That had its fair share of drama. If you look back as well, remember Mexico 86 with all the drama surrounding Diego Maradona, the hand of God, of course, so the way he terrorized England, and then, of course, Argentina going on to win it. That was a brilliant World Cup as well. There have been some magical moments in the World Cup, but it just seems like this one has been exciting from the word go. I think a big part of it has been VAR and the technology behind it, because initially fans were skeptical, and a lot of people skeptical about it. But the good thing is FIFA under Infantino seem to have been a bit flexible and admitted, yes, there are one or two faults in the way in its application, not necessarily VAR itself, but maybe in its application to do with it. But I think that's played a big part in it. But not only that, it just seems like that the players have really gone out for this, you know, and the teams have really gone out for it as well. You know, it looks like the so-called smaller teams are not scared of the bigger teams, and that's why we've seen such a high attrition rate of the so-called favorites. I mean, who would have figured out last weekend, you know, with both Ronaldo and Messi going out on the same day as well? That was incredible stuff, and when you look at now who threw to the quarterfinals, I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
Are you contented with the refereeing as far as the matches are concerned?
I am to a certain extent. I think it's been okay. The only thing I would say probably to do with VAR, forget about the refereeing, is probably to give the teams a chance, a little bit like tennis, you know, where the players are given chances. So probably in each half, I think the teams should be given two chances each. If they get one wrong, then, you know, it goes down to one chance. But if they get their appeal right, then they remain with two chances in that half. That's my personal feelings towards it. I think the refereeing has been okay. There have been one or two controversial decisions, definitely, that people are not happy with. But, you know, that's football for you. I still think football has a long way to catch up with the likes of rugby, you know, cricket, tennis, where, you know, the refereeing and the umpires are much more, you know, under scrutiny. There's talk about the flow of football being interrupted and things like that, but I think it will be tweaked and then it should be okay. But, yeah, I'd probably give the referees probably about 7 in this tournament.
Are there any players, Sean, that have stood out for you in this tournament so far?
The Colombian player, I've forgotten off the top of my head, he scored 3. He's been really, really good. Vardy has been really good in this tournament, but then you've got to remember a large percentage of his goals have been through the penalty spots for that. But, yeah, I think it's been a really good tournament also for goalkeepers as well. Goalkeepers have been very, very impressive in this tournament.
What should we expect in the quarterfinals?
I think it's going to be as unpredictable as it's been so far. It's so difficult at the moment to know who's going to win this trophy yet at the moment. The only thing that's consistent about the World Cup is its inconsistency at the moment. You know, there's a lot of talk about Brazil warming up, but then we've seen what's happened in this tournament, the so-called smaller teams. But look out for the dark horses, you know, the likes of Uruguay, Croatia as well. Look out for them and see how it goes.
Are there any surprises, stuff that you didn't expect, but then again, it happened?
Yeah, I think the surprise, probably Russia. Russia going through, you're starting to notice that 12-man advantage. There's a lot of talk, of course, about are the referees or are the officials a little bit scared to make decisions against them, you know, with this being on home soil as well. They've been good. I thought that match, I thought Japan were brilliant against Belgium. That, for me, really was a standout game. What a match it was.
That was such a cracker. Finally, what's your parting shot?
I just think it's got to continue like this. The other story sort of coming out is how welcoming the Russians have been to the visitors. There was all this talk about hooliganism, about racism and all. But from what we've seen, it's just been an incredible atmosphere. in terms of the fans and, you know, just really enjoying themselves. Russia's a vast country. Apparently, they've really been enjoying the long-distance train rides as well. There's the Trans-Siberian Express and the flights as well and the car drives. But apparently, the Russians have really taken to this World Cup and welcoming people from all over the world with open arms. Yeah, so well done there. It's been a really well-organized tournament. The stadiums have been amazing. I've just been blown away by the stadiums. So, yeah, well done to them, and long may it continue.
That's Kenyan sports journalist Sean Cartavillas. And Sean spoke from Nairobi with reporter Prince Nesta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, world number one Rafael Nadal of Spain and former champion Novak Djokovic of Serbia both won in straight sets Thursday at the prestigious Wimbledon grass court tournament in London. Rafa eliminated Mikhail Kukushkin of Kazakhstan 6-4, 6-3, and 6-4. And three-time Wimbledon winner Djokovic ousted Argentina's Horacio Zaballos 6-1, 6-2, and 6-3. Djokovic and Nadal are now through to the third round. Defending champion Roger Federer bidding for a record-extending ninth Wimbledon singles title, also moved on at the Grand Slam tournament. Joining us now with more on Federer, as well as other Wimbledon news, is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Roger Federer is well on his way in defending his Wimbledon title. It only took 89 minutes for him to advance to the third round, defeating Slovakia's Lukas Lacko in straight sets, 6-4, 6-4, 6-1. Federer now has won 26 consecutive sets at the All England Club. He plays again on Friday against Jan-Lennard Struff of Germany. After Wednesday's match, the topic of Serena Williams came up during Federer's post-match press conference. Serena's recent marriage has put a spotlight on a Wimbledon tradition. Miss Williams has been changed to Mrs. Williams. In other words, if Serena wins her match, the chair umpire now says, game Mrs. Williams. Her sister Venus, on the other hand, is game Miss Williams. Asked on Wednesday if he would like to now be addressed as Mr. Federer, Roger said he doesn't care as long as he wins.
Yeah, no, so for me, I'm happy if they say whatever they say. as long as it is game and my name somewhere. And not game and the other name. So. that makes sense, right? Yeah.
Serena is now on an official Wimbledon list that details the marriages of all women's champions, runners-up, and semifinalists. However, no such list exists for the men. Federer also laughed off Serena's comment when she was asked about her retirement plans. Serena said, I'm just playing until Roger stops.
I guess it's a good thing. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's a good thing for her or because maybe she wanted to play longer or shorter. I don't know. But I'm sure she was joking. So let's be honest for a second.
Both players are 36 years old with 43 Grand Slam singles titles between them. Serena has three more than Federer. And to keep the comparisons going, Serena has also reached the third round, defeating Bulgaria's Victoria Tomova in straight sets, 6-1, 6-4. After the match, Serena said her second round match was better than the first.
There's so many things that I want to improve on, but that's kind of how I always feel. I feel like I'm going in the right direction. This match was better than my first round, and I just hope every match is better.
And Serena says her work is cut out for her at this tournament.
You know, it's hard. Everyone's playing hard. You know, no one's giving you anything for free. Today, I didn't get anything for free. In my first round, I didn't get anything for free. So I feel like, you know, people are going out there and coming out and playing the hardest.
Serena will next play on Friday against Kristina Mladenovic of France. Venus Williams will face the Netherlands' Kiki Bertens that same day. Number two seed Caroline Wozniacki is out of Wimbledon, falling to Russian Katerina Makarova 6-4, 1-6, 7-5. After the match, Caroline said she played against a better opponent, but doesn't believe Makarova will be able to sustain that level of tennis.
Today I played someone who played extremely well, and as I said, I don't know that she would be able to keep up this level for the rest of the tournament.
Well, we'll find out. Makarova will next play Lucie Safarova of the Czech Republic on Friday. I want to quickly switch to rugby. Players from Zimbabwe's national team staying in Tunisia for a World Cup qualifier were forced to sleep on the street after their Beja hotel was deemed unacceptable. The team, nicknamed the Sables, was initially delayed Monday when they landed in Tunisia and were held for almost 6 hours due to visa processing. Later, they complained about substandard hotel accommodations and declined to check in. Rugby Africa and Tunisia Rugby Union later issued a joint apology that said, in part, the situation was addressed immediately and an acceptable solution has been found. Tunisia Rugby Union took the Sables management to visit another hotel, which was accepted. Zimbabwe and Tunisia are set to play on Saturday in the latest round of Africa Rugby's Gold Cup. Zimbabwe is currently in fourth place in the competition, and Tunisia is in last place. However, the winner will automatically qualify for the 2019 Rugby World Cup that will take place in Japan. Khalid Babu, an executive with Tunisia Rugby Union, said there was, quote, no intention to destabilize our opponents ahead of Saturday's match. I'll have more sports news tomorrow. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More World Cup football news. FIFA has picked European and South American referees to handle the quarterfinals that feature only teams from their region. Friday's Uruguay versus France match will be refereed by Nestor Pitana of Argentina. It will be his fourth assignment at Russia 2018, including the opening game. The Brazil versus Belgium match will be handled by Milorad Mazic of Serbia. He handled the UEFA Champions League final in May. Brazilian referee Sandro Ricci will work Saturday's Russia versus Croatia quarterfinal. He also worked Croatia's first group stage game against Nigeria. And Saturday's Sweden versus England quarterfinal will be the fourth match refereed by Bjorn Kuipers of the Netherlands. And after the quarterfinals coming up, the winners advance to the semifinals. There will be a semifinal on Tuesday next week in St. Petersburg, Russia. And the following day in the Russian capital, Moscow, will be the second World Cup semifinal. And the World Cup final will be played on Sunday, July 15th at Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow. Finally, in pro boxing news, James DeGale announced that he is vacating his IBF super middleweight title. DeGale wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "I have relinquished my IBF title as I look to secure big fights in the final chapter of my career." DeGale is 32 years old. He writes again, "This is the final phase of my career, and I want to be involved in the biggest fights possible. My team has been working very hard behind the scenes, and we've got some exciting news to announce soon." DeGale became the first British Olympic gold medalist to win a professional boxing title in 2015. And that wraps up the July 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In an effort to open markets and increase business opportunities for entrepreneurs in both the United States and Africa, U.S. Undersecretary of Commerce for International Trade Gilbert Kaplan launched a fact-finding mission in June with members of the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Chaired by the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, the Council advises the President on ways to strengthen commercial engagement between the United States and Africa. Undersecretary Kaplan led a group of representatives from 14 Advisory Council member firms, as well as officials from 11 U.S. government agencies, on a four-nation visit that also included Kenya, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ghana. The trip served as a fact-finding tour for the Advisory Council. The members gathered country-specific information in preparation to making recommendations to President Donald Trump regarding the best way to spur the development of capital markets, transparent and value-based procurement processes, and workforce development. The delegation met with Ethiopian government officials, leaders of state-owned enterprises, and representatives of American and Ethiopian private companies to explore opportunities for increased cooperation. The United States seeks to strengthen economic ties with Ethiopia and remains focused on supporting efforts to create a conducive environment for private sector growth that will lead to broad-based economic prosperity and increased opportunities for both our countries. The United States government and senior U.S. business leaders are serious about enhancing commercial engagement with Ethiopia. As the fastest-growing and fifth-largest economy in sub-Saharan Africa, Ethiopia can become a significant economic and trade partner for the United States, said Undersecretary Kaplan. This visit will help all of us to better understand this dynamic and developing economic market and provide insight on how our great nation can support and participate in the great processes that are happening here.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.